Good morning. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the Rai Way Full Year 2019 Results Analyst Conference Call. As a reminder, all participants are in listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. Should anyone need assistance during the conference call, they may signal an operator by pressing star and zero on their telephone. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Giancarlo Benucci, Head of Corporate Development and Investor Relations. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, operator, and good morning. Let me start thanking all of you for joining us today. We really appreciate. In these days, the situation in Italy and around the globe is not easy. It's a situation that is directly affecting our life. First, we sincerely hope that you and your families are all fine. As you know, with this call, we will guide you through not only the 2019 results, but also our new industrial plan. Let me draw your attention on page two of the presentation to anticipate, as part of the disclaimer, that the scenarios and targets we are sharing do not include any impact on the general economy and on our company from the emergency caused by the COVID-19, as its duration, intensity, and also the effectiveness of the containment measures are still uncertain. It's really too early to quantify. I really apologize for this dry disclaimer, but it's a technical requirement. Let me now leave the floor to the CEO. Please, Aldo, go ahead.
First of all, thank you and a welcome, warm welcome to everyone also from my side. First of all, I sincerely join Giancarlo in thanking you all for being here today and wishing a rapid return to normality and to our usual habits. As the company in charge of delivering the signal of the television public services to entire Italian population, we feel our responsibility as civil servants even stronger today. For this growth perspective, apart from any possible inconvenience should we have, given that our team is physically divided between Rome, me and Roberto, and Milan, Giancarlo, and we apologize in advance for that. As you know, today, we are also sharing our new industrial plan, our business plan. Unfortunately, we were forced to postpone to better days any kind of presentation in person, be it market day or roadshow. In the meantime, we really hope that this call will prove to be as much as comprehensive as possible. The agenda is therefore very busy, so as tradition requires, let's start straight away with a brief overview of the positive 2019 results, moving then to today's main dish, the 2023 industrial plan, that we are extremely pleased to share with you today. Let's start with slide number five to introduce what has been the fifth year in a row of uninterrupted growth on all economic and financial metrics. Growth that allowed us to even exceed the majority of the targets of the 2015-2019 industrial plan. In particular, I would like to highlight the strong performance in term of the recurring cash generation that we consider a key metric from an operational perspective. Also considering that this result has been achieved more than offsetting some headwinds from a weaker than assumed dynamic, inflation dynamics of the CPI, and more competitive, and much more competitive in MNO sourcing markets, and the fact that some of the Rai new services has now been included under the farming agreement. Said that, and moving to 2019 results, in a nutshell, the year has been no doubt the year of the agreement with Rai and the farming process, which we finalized back in December, providing a full de-risking such a complex technological process, considering the high visibility of revenues and cash flow granted by the economic terms and the renewal of the contract until 2028. On top of this, financial results came fully in line with our expectations, with the highest ever cash flow generation already highlighted, and the further improvement at both EBITDA and net income level, with a LAPER up 6.4% compared to 2018. At the same time, we started to deploy a sizable amount of development capex that will support future growth, and decided to propose to our annual general meeting the distribution of a 23.29 euro cents divided for 2019 dividend for 2019, equal to 100% payout ratio and a 5.7% dividend yield based on last closing price. Last point, our guidance for a positive 2020 reflects the initial contribution from new growth initiatives, driving further EBITDA improvement. Slide number 7. Before leaving the word to Adalberto to comment, as usual, the main effects on our P&L and cash flow, let me just point out the main financial highlights of 2019, bearing in mind that for just for adjusted EBITDA, net income and cash conversion, we use for comparison purposes the 2018 figures restated to factor in the impact of IFRS 16. Core revenues, which are not affected by IFRS 16, reached 221.4 million euros, 1.7% higher than 2018 ones, mainly driven by CPI and new services on right side, and with the third-party component pretty in line with the previous year figure. Then the adjusted EBITDA increased by around 2%, 2.7% to 131.2 million euros, with profitability above 60% post IFRS 16. Moving to the bottom line, the net income was 6.5% year on year to 63.4 million euros. While on financial side, CapEx in the full year exceeded 35 million euros above last year's level, thanks to higher development activities driven by preparatory activities for refarming that summed up 17.2 million euros. Then the recording net financial position as December 31 amounts to less than 10 million euros. But excluding the leasing component, we ended 2019 with a positive cash position in our balance sheet for around 30 million euros. Finally, cash conversion remained strong across the year at more than 85%. Please, Adalberto, you can go on.
Thank you, Aldo, and good morning to everybody also from my side. Let's start, as usual, with the top line, with core revenues overall growing by 1.7% to 221.4 million euro in 2019. In particular, as you may see, revenues from RAI were up 1.9% as a result of the 1.4% CPI, bringing the fixed contribution slightly above 180 million euro, and the higher contribution for approximately 1 million euro on new services for RAI coming from the extension of the DAB Plus network, as we already talked about in the previous call, and other new services offered to RAI. Revenues from customer other than RAI were basically aligned with 2018 figures, reflecting again the good performance on transmission and hosting services offered to FWA, broadcaster and corporate customers to offset the pressure from MNO. Following slide, on the OPEX, you find both the 2018 reported figure and, as usual, the pro forma one. So, having this pro forma figure in mind, the cost base increased by 1.1% in the full year, totaling 91.1 million euros.
Personnel costs were broadly stable on the other operating cost side. If you exclude non-core items, the figure increased by 1.5% vis-à-vis 2018 pro forma values. If you look at the last quarter standalone, the comparison is impacted by the low level reported in Q4 2018, as I already highlighted in our call in November. Slide 10. Let me here just underline the good performance at net income level, reaching, as Aldo mentioned, 63.4 million euro at the end of 2019. And let me recall that when we did the IPO of the company, net result was 33.4 million euro. So this means that today we almost doubled this amount, something really remarkable. Last comment on tax rate, which stood at almost 29% for the full year, slightly higher than 2018, which was actually positively impacted by a one-off impact on deferred taxes. Following slide, in terms of financial implication, I remind you that we ended 2018 with a positive net cash position of 16.6 million euro. Cash flow generation before dividend payment was strong, as usual, in 2019, with cash generation at 74 million euro, and even considering the dividend payment, our cash balance increased, reaching more than 30 million euro at the end of 2019. Taking into account the IFRS 16 leasing liabilities for approximately 40 million euro, net debt amounts 9.5 million euro. Let me just drive your attention on the CapEx amount, above 35 million euro and materially higher vis-à-vis 2018 figures, because of the increase in the amount of the development CapEx that will assure future growth. Slide, following slide, dividend proposal. I will end with the proposal to the annual general meeting, the dividend proposal, that will amount to 23.29 euro cent per share, meaning 100% payout of our net income, with an implicit dividend yield of 5.7%. If you look at the progression in dividends paid since our IPO, the total amount distributed to our shareholders is around 293 million euro in 6 years, equal to 36% of the company initial market cap, a figure that we deem significant. And now it's time for the 2020 guidance, for which I hand the floor back to Aldo. Please, Aldo.
Thank you, Alberto. And now we come to the guidance that, as anticipated, does not incorporate at the moment the impact from COVID-19, that in our case should, however, be fairly limited, considering the resiliency and protection of our business. Said that, we expect adjusted EBITDA to keep growing on an organic basis as a result of revenue growth supported by rising contribution from refarming activities and a slight increase in operating costs related to implementation of new services that will bring benefits in following years. Just to give you the example of refarming, at this stage the multipurpose coverage extension will bring additional installation at the energy cost and new equipment are on the top of the existing ones. Then obviously, once all the refarming activities will be completed and the old and less efficient equipment switched off, the revenues will flow almost entirely to EBITDA, as already guided. Same applies also to other initiatives of the new plan, with 2020 characterized by startup costs, but no or limited top-line contribution. About the maintenance capex on core revenue, substantially in line with 2019 figure, with, on the other hand, rising development capex, mainly related to progression of refarming activities. And Now let's now move to the industrial plan that will keep us, let me say, extremely busy for the next 4 years until 2023. Before starting, let me just remark, as already evident from the first part of our presentation today, the effort made in the last years to put our company in the best shape, possible shape to undertake the next and fundamental step of growth that we have symbolically summarized into the slogan, broadening horizons, meaning a further evolution of Far Away as it clearly emerges from the strategic goals I will illustrate now in a moment. I will then share the floor with Adalberto and with Giancarlo to provide more color on the main initiatives and the related financial details. After that, we will, of course, more than happy to answer your questions. Proceeding by order, we have identified three main pillars to ground the strategic development of our company up to 2023. On one side, strengthening the core business, and on the other, the willingness and commitment to expand the management infrastructures without ceasing to actively cover the main optionalities for innovative uses of the current assets. In particular, starting from the strengthening of our core business, what does it mean? It means in the media segment, not only leveraging on the opportunities, although very material, related to our traditional broadcasting platform, like the refarming for digital terrestrial television or the extension of the DAB network, both for RAI and for third parties, but also evolving into broadband platform, being IP or 5G-based, developing networks and services for the contribution and distribution of contents. This focus on widening, complementing our offer for the media sector, follows the trend related to the evolution of consumer habits and the content fruition, on which we will elaborate in a while, and aims also at improving our long-term positioning in the industry. Regarding the tower hosting business. On one side, we will continue with our strong and rewarding commercial activity that is bearing fruit with no telco customers, but on the other, we have to react to the greater competitiveness of the sector in respect of certain specific clients, and namely the MNOs. In response to it, we need to evolve the value proposition for these specific customers, protecting the overall balance of third party segment, and this will happen through a mix of, from one side, a higher volume and wider range of services, mainly leveraging on the opportunities offered by the 5G network architecture in terms of rural coverage, backhauling capacity, densification, and local computing needs. And at the same time, accepting more competitive pricing on the replaceable portion of our assets, but in exchange of longer duration of the contract. Regarding the core business, finally, we confirm our effort in pursuing operational excellence and efficiency. Considering, as you know, the exceptional results we already achieved in the recent years, we have been forced, but also happy, to adopt more and more disruptive approach linked to the evolution, to the digital evolution of operating and organizational model. This will translate not only into savings, but also, perhaps more importantly, into innovative management and control of the assets, a leaner business processes, for example, to the introduction of a new CRM platform. Second goal, expansion of the managed infrastructure by external lines. What does it mean? We mean a concrete commitment to pursue this growth path as an essential part of our capital allocation strategy, mainly in response to the willingness to enhance the diversification, step up the size scale that following the consolidation wave in the industry has become an important competitive factor, and reach operational and financial synergies. More, the identification of possible areas of expansion will reflect the desire to maintain a predominant infrastructure footprint consistent with the company's know-how, strengthening at the same time our growth profile through the achievement of industrial synergies and or the great exposure to rapidly developing markets. In addition to this, we will continue to actively cover and address new uses of our current infrastructure, meaning services and technologies that are still not mature, but that we consider credible options and presenting a good fit with the distinctive features of our assets, for example, in terms of coverage, size, and available spaces. Now, before going into the details of each initiative, let me outline our capital allocation strategy and the related financial implication, in particular on two key metrics, cash generation from one side and shareholder remuneration. So, as you can see from the slide, the plan envisages development initiatives for over 200 million euros cumulated in 4 year periods that, however, are expected to bring an increase in recurring cash flow of more than 25 compared to the current values, basically approaching 100 million euros per year, thanks to revenue growth improved margins by more than 300 basis points and the further sustainable reduction in the CAPEX, maintenance CAPEX level. On the shareholder remuneration side, we expect the distribution of about 25% of the current market cap over the period of the plan through dividends and buyback, at least to take advantage from some valuation decoupling that our stock suffers from time to time. And then Adalberto will better elaborate on this later. And this is hopefully one component of the value creation for shareholders, with the reminder entrusted to the potential benefits of external growth enabled by a leverage that organically will remain at around 1x net debt to EBITDA, even after investment and distribution indicated above. Now, before diving you through the specific initiatives of the plan, let me give you a bit of color on the environment we operate in, meaning the expected evolution of our reference sectors that I'm sure you are familiar with. Moving to slide number 18. Starting with the media sector, if broadcasting is undergoing a major reorganization, both on technological and in terms of multiplex structure, due to the well-known refarming process, the evolution of viewers' consumption habits are leading to the fast uptake of the top platforms, on which we will focus in a while. At the same time, The media production chain is experiencing significant upgrades, both in terms of quality, like for example, the four key contents, and technology of contribution, with an increased use of the broadband network, today mostly IP and tomorrow also 5G. In the telco environment, the progressive rollout of new generation networks, both fixed fiber and mobile 5G, is coupled with operators' returns that in the last few years have been under a bit pressure. This pushes the same players on one side to partnership and sharing agreement in order to avoid network duplication and reduce the employed capital. And on the other, to develop an ecosystem of new services that will help to better monetize the investments. Moreover, many of these new services, in specific IoT verticals, have strict requirements in terms of bandwidth, latency, and thus local computing. Finally, in the tower area, we are observing the progressive spin-off of captive assets, with consolidation seen as a natural strategy for value creation and monetization. At the same time, the role of TowerCos is also evolving from pure hosting providers, basically real estate players, to a sort of service providers, offering also the active equipment and technology, or network providers, expanding in adjacent infrastructure. All this market development leads, of course, to opportunities for a way I have already anticipated in terms of traditional network upgrade, introduction of new media and telco services, and infrastructural expansion, and that are addressed by initiatives included in our plan. But before going through these initiatives, let me just elaborate on the evolution of the consumer habits and the implication in terms of platform rebalancing today and in the longer term. Slide number 19. The market evidence, you can see a recap in this slide, the market evidence, and you can find also all the details in this slide in the appendix, confirms so far two unquestionable facts. Video content consumption is steadily increasing, with growth driven by modes of consumption on demand and through mobile devices, in particular by the new generations, which are not digital terrestrial television based. However, if you look at the linear TV, of course, digital terrestrial television is based on linear TV, it remains by far the reference mode, continuing to represent in Italy, according to various statistics, more than 80% of viewing hours, with a little pending rebalancing curve that is protected by factors like strong and substantially stable audience, confirming the DTT and as they mean with highest reach, and this despite increasing broadband coverage and OTT subscription take-up. Secondly, 85% of broadcasters' advertising collection coming from the traditional platform that consequently cannot be abandoned. And then, peculiarity of the Italian market, that is mostly fitware market. Just to give you an idea, consider that fitware is the most widely used platform in more than 70% of households, basically the opposite compared to United States or UK. Basically making the market less attackable by OTT platform, which in any case involves the cost for the platform or the broadband subscription. So said that, on the current picture, the question should be, what should we expect for the future? Is the rebalancing of consumption between platform expected to continue? We say yes, but let me say with no complete substitution, but reaching a balance with the coexistence of platform and under an hybrid approach based on the polarization between modes of fruition and type of content. In particular, with respect of the two drivers mentioned before, mobility and on-demand, evidence suggests, and again, I invite you to take a look at the attached material, suggests that the TV set, when available, remains the preferred device compared to mobile one. And linear and on-demand consumption will be complementary with on-demand focus on non-live or deferrable content, mainly TV series or series or movies, while linear TV will remain the reference mode for non-deferrable live events addressed to a wide audience, such as entertainment, sports, news. So given that linear TV will then continue to survive, the question is, what is the most efficient solution for linear content distribution? Well, in terms of cost and spectrum, broadcast, so digital terrestrial television, remains the most efficient solution to distribute the offer of traditional broadcasters. In different words, transferring the offer of non-deferrable linear content of a traditional broadcaster, currently the digital terrestrial television, entirely on IP platform, could entail prohibitive costs for both broadcaster on the basis of a consumer pricing model, on telco in terms of tightening the backbone. And this efficient approach of broadcast broadband links is also consistent with the rationale behind the concept of 5G broadcasting architecture that is indeed, as you will see later on, part of our optionalities we monitor as a potential future uses of our infrastructure. Finally, let me also remind the coverage obligation that the public service must comply with, that are not easy to be matched through IP, as in this respect you need to consider the penetration and not only the coverage. So to conclude, this balance between broadcast and broadband platform to catch the advantage for both, meaning the large coverage and audience of broadcast multicast mode combined with the flexibility and personalization of broadcast unicast, translates also into balanced, if not promising, long-term prospects of our company thanks to the complementary services we will offer on the new platforms, plus the potential activities related to the upgrade of network, for instance, with 5G broadcasting. And sorry to stress this point, but it's the strength of our business model as clearly proven by the refinement. Well, let's now leave the floor to Giancarlo to drive you through each specific initiative. Giancarlo, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Aldo. And moving now to the review of the key initiatives. On the core business, we identified three main areas of activities, and I'm referring to slide 21. One focused on the services for media clients, the second on the protection of the tower business, and then the effectiveness and efficiency of internal processes and organizational model through the digital transformation. A transformation that will be also key to grow new digital skills that together with the enhanced connectivity to be made available both at sites and for our backbone represent the enabling factors of the plan to expand the offering also on new services and platforms. Now, starting from the media segment and moving to slide 22, not only we will continue to upgrade and extend for both Rai and third parties the traditional TV and radio broadcasting networks, namely the refarming and the DAB+, and let me say that we are talking of a relevant amount of activities for size and remuneration, but we are also expanding our video services on new platforms in terms of distribution of contents, also on OTT and IP platforms through the implementation of a local content delivery network, and the extension of our transmission and contribution services with more flexible solutions using, again, broadband solutions like IP or 5G. Moving to slide 23, on the traditional broadcasting platforms, Rai will continue, of course, to be our main customer in the coming years. The focus will be on the technical implementation of the key refarming process following the well-known agreement recently signed with Rai. Here, on the left side of the slide, you can find just a recap on the evolution of the network configuration and the related activities in terms of development of new UHF DVB-T2 macro-regionalized multiplex and coverage extension and T2 upgrade for the national MUXes, bearing in mind the still pending tender for the allocation of the residual transmission capacity that will define the final sector structure. On the radio side, DAB coverage extension is expected to proceed at fast pace, with the goal to reach at least 75% of population coverage. Lastly, satellite broadcasting services will be upgraded as well with the reconfiguration of transponders and headend that will allow end users to receive new channels, even in Ultra HD, on the DTH platform. Coming back to the DTT refarming and moving to slide 24, this process will impact not only the national broadcasters and Rai, but local TV as well, with the expected release of all the frequencies currently used by local operators, the awarding through tenders of two multiplexes for the diffusion of local TV contents to network operators, and the selection through beauty contests of the local content providers that will have access to the transmission capacity. As you probably remember, so far our approach to the local TV has been extremely cautious and selective. The new configuration could now make this market slightly more sustainable, avoiding network duplication and providing affordable prices for capacity, although with considerable differences from region to region in terms of attractiveness. In this respect, our selective approach will continue with the prioritization of geographical areas based on market size and risk. Moving now to the broadband platforms, you find on slide 25 a focus on the content delivery networks, also known as CDN. For those not familiar with this IP-based technology, CDN is a system of connected servers used to distribute multimedia contents, such as video on demand or live streaming, to IP platforms that basically storing and making these contents available closer to the end user, reduce the congestion of the telecom network, improve the throughput and latency, and therefore the quality of services and quality of experience for final users, two issues that are key for content service providers. To make it simple, it's a mix of technology, platform, and connectivity. The importance and the demand for these services and products is expected to increase following the rise in video traffic and video quality. Today, only the big OTT players have an internally owned CDN, while traditional broadcasters usually use a multi-CDN approach relying on external providers, being mainly operators managing global CDN or telco. Rai Way will start to roll out its local carrier-neutral CDN, with local meaning domestic, but with better capillarity of the service on the national territory, basically ensuring high performance, and with carrier-neutral meaning reaching all end users regardless the internet service provider used. It's a project involving several actors, to be honest, but we can leverage on our asset, the IP backbone, on our unique video expertise, on the strong relationship with broadcasters, and on what we deem a valid value proposition. Together with the content distribution, the evolution of broadband network also influences the transmission services, meaning the point-to-point contribution of contents. Currently, these transmission services are mainly based on satellite and radio link that, in our case, complement an IP-based contribution network, the DIY contribution network, but with a sort of limited set flexibility. The evolution of these services, integrating IP and mobile interconnection, and of course platforms, enables better flexibility, transmission of high-quality contents, and remote production. A good example of a concrete application is the Wi-Fi hotspot that we already implemented for the Olympic Stadium in Rome, where our fiber-based contribution network has been connected to several Wi-Fi hotspots, allowing for a wireless coverage of the stadium, the use of wireless backpack camera, and the possibility for the operator to autonomously start the live transmission. And it also worked very well. After having outlined the major initiatives in the media broadcasting sector, I would now like to illustrate how we want to protect our tower hosting business, in particular for non-media customers. So please move to slide 27. As you know, over the last few years, we have been experiencing two opposite drivers: solid growth from non-MNO customers, namely TV and radio broadcasters, fixed wireless and corporates, a trend that we expect to confirm going forward, and pressure from MNO segment. Here, we will work on two different but strictly connected levers: more oriented, retention-oriented value proposition, and volumes. Starting from volumes, let me say that once the value proposition is okay and we manage to retain telco customers on our towers, volumes, that again, excluding the MNOs, are by the way already growing, volumes will improve, mainly driven by 5G rollout, and this likely also beyond 2023, and 4G coverage completion, and fixed wireless access, a technology that is progressively drawing the interest not only of the specific fixed wireless players, but also of traditional fixed telco players for coverage of rural areas. On the value proposition, very simple. We need to have a more competitive offer for the portion of our sites competing with alternative towers. This means, first of all, no doubt, better pricing. Then widening the service offering beyond the pure hospitality. Basically, to give existing customers a second reason on top of pricing to stay, to recover the price point, and to attract new customers. In this perspective, the new 5G network architecture and the growing requirements in terms of bandwidth, latency, and local computing of many of the new services enabled by the same 5G offer us a very nice opportunity. Or even better, opportunities. First of all, fiber backhauling. Fiber backhauling becomes relevant, in particular for the less rural sites in our portfolios. And I mean relevant as a standalone service, but even more considering that fiber to the towers enables also additional services and brings potential synergies with the broadcast distribution network, for example, in terms of replacement of radio links. Then, the so-called DAS, the Distributed Antenna System. To be honest, it's quite unrealistic for tower costs with no MNO anchor tenants like us to get a request for a DAS from an MNO, as, of course, they will use their own infrastructure provider. But we can try to get it from the other way around, dealing directly with venue owners of point of interest near our towers, possibly for venues with video-intensive events where we can leverage an existing relationship with owners and also try to offer additional services. Then, edge data center, or better, tower edge data center, as you can see on slide 28, meaning, in very simple words, small distributed data centers located at the edge of the network, therefore also towers, devoted to the hosting of equipment for data storage and processing, that bringing computational capacity closer to the end user's device, reduce latency, and avoid saturation of the telco backbone. Basically, we are talking of a colocation infrastructure, so space equipped with rack conditioning and connectivity, located in the tower sites, addressing the growing edge computing market for low latency application, as well as the network virtualization of the MNOs, that is, let me say, key for the 5G networks. Some of our towers offer very good fit in terms of high coverage provided, available space, and of course, MNOs presence. We will start to deploy some market tests, basically covering the main Italian districts, with the potential, and of course, willingness, to increase the number of edge sites should market reaction be positive. A kind of flexibility and approach that applies also to the other services, like the fiber backhauling or the DAS. That's all from my side on the initiatives. So thank you for your attention, and I now hand the line over back to Aldo.
Thank you, Giancarlo. After the reviewing of the offering and commercial side to strengthen our core business, we cannot fail to take the opportunity represented by the so-called digital transformation, providing our company with a future-proof operating model. We have already started this important journey during 2019, a journey that will impact skills, processes, and tools at all levels of our organization. The planned activities are really many, and just to name a few, until 2023, we will be busy in developing a new integrated platform to support corporate processes, deploying technological innovation in asset management and control and data management, upgrading the field operation model, reshaping our know-how to keep up with the times, and last but not least, introducing agile solutions for processes and organization. Therefore, as I said in my introduction, an initiative with a very, very large scope aimed not only at extracting efficiencies or savings, but in improving process effectiveness, organization, and skills. Moving to slide number 30. From a strategic angle, however, we do not want to limit our effort to the current core business. But we are keen to extend our assets perimeter, I mean infrastructural asset perimeter, as we see several benefits from pursuing this kind of opportunity: scale, synergies, customer and/or market diversification, optimization of capital structure. And our motivation is even stronger if you consider that looking at our peers and at the players operating in the new segment we are targeting, size appears to be a competitive factor to catch opportunities. Here and in the following two, three slides, we have represented a couple, I would say rational but not exhaustive, example of possible direction of expansion. One, of course, more horizontal, the broadcasting towers, and therefore more oriented to scale and synergies. The second one, more vertical but somehow consistent with our asset and background, represented by data center, referring to the infrastructural part of the business. In this case, of course, more oriented to diversification, and enhancement of growth profile. Starting from the broadcasting towers, to be precise, referring to our domestic market, I don't want to beat around the bush. We all know that market structure in Italy is an unicum. We all agree on the rationale and benefits of sector restructuring and so on, but this is not the point. We must admit that so far, despite the several industrial benefits represented and promoted by the operating companies, not all the involved actors, several to be frank, have been simply ready to sink the ship, and some discontinuities in the environment have not helped. But it doesn't mean that this will not happen in the future. Our position, our idea has been clearly represented and is well known to you guys. What I can stress today is that the meantime we have not sat on our hands ahead of this opportunity, we have today a company that is more solid, with a better financial, higher visibility on less and less risk, better prospects, clear strategic direction, and a credible plan. I am referring to our steady growth year after year since 2015, to the agreement on refarming, to the planned service expansion, new media platform, to the restructuring of the offer of M&A segment, and this is now fully discounted to the higher market valuation, of course, before the market sell-off of the last week. Although on this particular point, we are still not satisfied, and we expect more to come. So let me say we are in a good shape, ready and optimistic. Regarding the data center, as regards the expansion towards other infrastructure asset classes, we have studied and assessed several possibilities, and one interesting option is represented by colocation data centers, a market that in Italy has an interesting way to go. And this is definitely an infrastructural market with several characteristics similar to those of towers, but with a major difference linked, at least in Italy, to the different phase of the market cycle, with towers being a mature market already undergoing a wave of consolidation and data center, in particular focusing on top-tier assets, being more at the early stage, both on demand and on supply side. And this implies, on one side, higher growth profile, double-digit on average, driven by cloud, of course, from both global provider and domestic one, so telco ICT providers, but driven by OTT growth, public administration, the GDPR. But on the other side, potential temporary supply-demand imbalance with acceleration and pullbacks are also possible. For instance, recently built capacity will match upcoming demand, but forecasts suggest still a limited number of quality assets compared to the expected demand growth. Considering these dynamics, the question could be how this market might be addressed in a viable way then. So, just a few hints. First, focus on high quality, efficient assets with the right location, targeting those customers who may potentially secure a different level of occupation, and with a make or buy approach, both possible, but with strict requirements. So, to recap, an interesting market. Not the easiest to be addressed, but where the possible role of a company like ours as an independent, carrier neutral, highly reliable operator with the possibility to integrate central data centers with towers and edge data centers or mini data centers, and synergies with services on new platform illustrated before. And this, I think, it could make sense. Last pillar, innovation. So, last pillar of our strategy is what we call optionality, meaning the active monitoring coverage of certain innovative services that are actually still not mature, mainly due to lack of technical or regulatory standardization, but where we see long-term potential and strong fit with our assets. You can call it scouting or innovation, but it's a sort of innovation also devoted to increase the long-term value of our assets. And for instance, we see opportunities. Well, in the take-up of drone sectors, with activities and services of different nature that may be offered from our towers, that are good positioning for offering a service for drones. Or 5G broadcasting, that once the rollout of 5G will be completed, may prove to be the new standard for media content delivery. Basically, the idea behind 5G broadcasting, on which we started the first experimental test, is to have different 5G layers complementing the 5G mobile infrastructure with the 5G broadcast network in order to serve the viewers with the most efficient technology according to the situation. Indeed, the concept is to use the power of broadcasting based on high power configuration, and therefore deploy it on an infrastructure like ours to serve the large number of users also in mobility, combined with the capacity of mobile 5G to provide interactive services to individual users in unicast mode, like on demand. And with intelligence in the user's receiver to select the best option for service, quality and availability. So an orchestration of cooperative networks that would provide flexibility, optimization of resources, absorbing peak traffic for contents addressing large number of users, and minimization of investments. And now let me conclude this part of presentation with something that we really care about, sustainability. ESG, let me say, is no longer a differentiation factor. It's the standard. The 2023 industrial plan marks a novelty by explicitly introducing into the equation our strong commitment to sustainability and, broadly speaking, confirming the focus on ESG topics already shown with sustainability reports we are publishing since 2017. ESG doesn't want to be just a slogan, but a concrete way to develop our company, the leitmotif of our activities, starting from our four fundamental pillars: social, innovation, governance, and environment, health and safety, and take into account the recommendation of the main indices. We have been developing specific objectives and targets linked to our main activities, contributing to achieve the Sustainable Development Objective, the so-called SDGs. To give you a bit of flavor, let me mention our engagement in pursuing energy efficiency, introducing technological platform and processing affecting our people with initiatives such as smart working and e-learning training experiences. And lastly, ESG will also positively impact governance with, for instance, the introduction of ESG criteria in the variable remuneration policy. Having gone through the strategic objectives and the initiatives for the next 4 years, it's now time of numbers, so for Adalberto to show how all these actions translate into financial targets. Adalberto, the line is yours.
Thanks again, Aldo. Let us go to the financial side of the plan. Before that, just a quick but important forward on top of the one made by Aldo on the guidance 2020 relating to the impact of the COVID-19 that, of course, is valid for the industrial plan as well. Then, all the figures you will find within the next slide are to be read on an organic basis, so without incorporating any potential upside coming from what we call potential external growth. Third, talking about refarming, the plan is based on the base case scenario that assumes Rai Way managing three multiplex for Rai at the end of the process. Last, the CPI assumptions for the plan consider a reported CPI close to zero in 2019 and a forecasted one of 0.8% for 2020, 1.1% in 2021 and 2022, each of these figures impacting on the following years. Slide  38. If you look at these figures, you find all the main financials of the plan with the target for 2023. Starting with core revenues, we expect to touch 247 million euro with an average year-on-year growth of 2.8%. A higher pace of growth above 4% yearly is expected for adjusted EBITDA, also thanks to the contribution of refarming and other new services in terms of profitability, as well as to the digital transformation mentioned by Aldo, with adjusted EBITDA to reach 154 million euro in 2023, coming along with a margin of 62%. The net income will consequently mark 10 million euro more than in 2019 at around 73 million euro. As already pointed out by my colleagues, this plan will be rich in development CapEx, and I will specifically elaborate on this in a few minutes. Now, finally for this slide, cash, of course, will be king, with a further strong progression in the recurring free cash flow to equity expected as of 2023, close to the 100 million threshold, a remarkable amount. Let's move to the following slide. After this plan teasers, I will now dig deeper on some items and concepts, beginning with core revenues. On the right side, you will see the full effect of refarming in terms of revenues from July 2021 onwards, while additional new services such as DAB, CDN, and others will gradually contribute across the entire span of years. Under the continuing pressure from MNOs, revenues from third parties are expected to reach 33 million euro in 2023, with a customer mix more balanced, thanks to the new commercial initiatives and services to be offered to our customers. Following slide, number 40. OpEx, you will see a cost base pretty steady across the plan, thanks to the continuous efficiency initiatives, digital transformation, and improvement in the organizational model that will offset emerging costs linked to the new services. All these drivers will affect both personnel and other operating costs, even if with different magnitude and timing, resulting in a personnel component lower than today's one at the end of the plan. Following slide, number 41. By combining revenues and cost effects, you end up with an adjusted EBITDA profile that shows a material improvement in the last 2 years of the plan, both in absolute and marginal terms. Why this? As I mentioned, the increase in the fixed consideration related to the refarming will be effective starting from July 2021. At that date, the activities to update the network will be ongoing, and they will terminate by mid-2022. Starting from the second half 2022, Rai Way will finally benefit from having a new and more efficient network. 2023 will be the first full year after the closing of all the refarming activities, with also so the full impact in term of efficiencies on our cost. Moreover, the optimization effects of the digital transformation are expected to materialize in 2022 and 2023, when our network will be fully implemented. Adjusted EBITDA is finally expected, as I mentioned, to total 154 million euros. The net income profile deserves some clarification as well, given the burden represented in the first years, mainly by higher D&As linked to CapEx cycle and the cumulative presence of some 3.5 million euro one-off expenses concentrated in 2020 and 2022. As already unveiled, at run rate, net income will then touch 73 million euro in 2023. Next slide. As promised, some remarks on CapEx side, given the crucial role that investment will play in the next years for us. Looking at the maintenance CapEx, the 2023 figure is expected to be in line with today's 18 million amount. If we consider the recurring level component, the amount will be about 15 million euro in 2023, with the ratio recurring maintenance CapEx on sales down to 6%, a sustainable level thanks to the efficiency of a brand-new network. Refarming will, of course, be the catalyst of the development component as well, accounting for almost two-thirds of the cumulated to 220 million euro foreseen across the plan. The remaining 80 million euro will be connected to various initiatives such as CDN, connectivity upgrade, new telco services, digital transformation, regional refarming, and so on. Overall, development activities will be mainly spread across the next 3 years, and they will be financed by the recourse to bank loans. Following slide, recurring cash generation, not considering the development CapEx, will remain strong during the whole plan, with a 2023 target of almost 100 million euros, a remarkable result, 25% higher than 2019 levels, with an increase of almost 6% year-on-year. If we think in terms of yields, the current 7%, based on the price of yesterday, is expected to grow up to 9% based, as I mentioned, on a price share of 4.1 euro. Finally, this is supposed to be the last slide of our today's presentation, containing a final overview on the capital allocation strategy for the next years. The rationale behind this topic has already been anticipated by Aldo, so I will just take a little time for some closing remarks from the financial perspective. Leveraging on the CapEx-driven organic growth, the company will be able to secure a strong cash generation, as I just commented, with free cash flow to equity up to 20 million euro in 2023 compared to 2019. This allow the continuation of the dividend policy based on the 100% net income distribution. Alternatively, also through a mix of dividends and share buyback, depending on market and sector conditions. Yield On average during the period 2020-2023 is about 5%, but the yield will be more than 6.5% considering the expected dividend in 2024 based on the net income recorded that we expect to record in 2023. This, of course, assuming 100% net income distribution. On top of this, we have also planned the implementation of an additional buyback out of the distributable reserve for 20 million euro, equal to 7% of the free floating, which we record across the plan, a total cumulated distribution, including buyback, of around 270 million euro. Equal to 20% of the current market cap. But this is not the end of the story, because the other layer of value creation we have in mind is represented by the external growth, a key factor also for the optimization of the capital structure, taking advantage of the high business visibility and of the availability of resources to finance inorganic growth. Sorry, there is an issue. Okay, now I believe it is solved. So the net debt to EBITDA should remain around one time across the plan, far below the 4 to 6 times that can be observed among peers. That's really all on my side, and we will now be glad to answer to your questions.
Excuse me, this is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. To remove your question, please press star and two. Please pick up the receiver when asking questions. The first question comes from Mr. Stefano Gambarini of Equita SIM. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, good morning, everyone. Three questions of my side. First of all, have I understood correctly that the possible consolidation in the broadcasting tower is on hold right now? Could you elaborate a little bit more why? What are the problems? What are these parts that now do not agree with this kind of consolidation? And what could be the solutions? The second, is there also a risk of delays in refarming? What is, how are going all the proceeds for the refarming, including, for example, the auction for the MUXes, the two MUXes? So are there some risks of delays? Then my further question is regarding your investments. If I'm not wrong, 140 million euros for the refarming, 80 million euros for other activities. In November, you underlined that the refarming could add 13 million euros of recurring free cash flow. Now, we are in the region of 20. So this means, in my estimate, that the 80 million euros new investment will allow you to get 7 million euros of additional recurring free cash flow. Am I wrong? And if you can elaborate a little bit more regarding the margins on the revenue that you expect to get from these additional investments. Also, considering the slide with the breakdown of revenues where most of growth will arrive from RAI. So are these investments mainly dedicated to RAI, or where I'm wrong? Because it's not easy to understand the additional revenues with the additional free cash flow where these revenues arrive. Many thanks.
So let me start with your last question. Of course, the overall impact on the run rate cash flow figures we comment is the result of many components. Of course, there is the impact from the refarming, that is the one that we already disclosed. And then saying that
The other impact is linked to the other investment. It's true, but we have also to consider that there will be a more balanced mix of revenues coming from third parties due to, as we always comment, the pressure coming from the MNOs. And the strong commercial push that we are implementing in order to increase our revenues from all our customers, their customers different from MNOs. So there are also many impacts to take into consideration for proper assessment of these figures. Coming on the second question, and then I will leave the floor to Aldo for the consolidation. The risk of delay in refarming, actually we plan all the activities in advance considering the deadline of the law, because as you may recall, the refarming process related to the 700 band is has to start according to the official roadmap in September 2021, to be finished in June 2022. So in order to manage this, also logic of managing any potential risk, we start in advance all the activities. So hopefully, thanks to this, we should be able not to have an impact. But then, of course, we really hope that this situation will not last a lot, and hopefully we could there will be the possibility to work as we work 1 month ago, looking at our target that that for us represents an important target that will take into consideration during the next years in all our activities. Having said that, Aldo,
you can elaborate a little more, Alberto, about the impact of coronavirus, and then we can reply about the question on consolidation. As already we anticipated in the presentation, of course, for the time being, we are not incorporating the impact from the spread of COVID-19. But we will update our expectation in due course, but it's also, let me say, fair to say that generally speaking, our business should be resilient and well protected. Starting from the service contract with RAI, as well as the existing contract with MNO, big network operator, or public administration should not be, as Alberto said before, substantially impacted by the emergency. Potentially, we could see a smoother profile of some development activities and related revenues ramp up. So a rephasing due to suppliers, for example, so to suppliers delay order deliveries or technicians that are not allowed to reach sites following the restrictions, and this impacting, of course, the installation on new POPs. And I am, of course, thinking about the progression of the extension of the multiplex, the multiplex 2, 3, and 4, or the extension of the DAB coverage, or the volume ramp up, including some contracts. But you have to keep in mind that the same drivers could also lead to postpone some maintenance activity. And therefore related OPEX, not to mention the lower energy cost should oil price remain at the current level for a long period of time. But in terms of, again, for continuity of our activity, we would be ready to extend smart working. This is a solution that we are already adopting today at almost our entire workforce, apart from some limited activities of network monitoring that requires presence on site. So, fingers crossed, and let's really hope that this measure implemented by the government will bear fruits, letting us to come back to usual business, and let me say, definitely more important to normal life. About your question on consolidation, as you have seen, in our industrial plan, we have a commitment in playing an active role in consolidation, and we confirm it. At the same time, as you know, guys, the consolidation of broadcasting infrastructures faces some constraints that are legislative and regulatory, so to be managed. Therefore, political decisions are key factor, also considering, of course, the strategic nature of the assets that are involved. So what I can do, I can confirm the strong rationale of market and consolidation, and that as of today, there are now, of course, ongoing discussions.
Just a quick follow-up, if I may. Regarding the third party revenues at slide, sorry, 39, could you help us to understand a little bit better the trend of MNOs and third parties? Because if I'm not wrong, new investment, €8 million, means higher revenues maybe in this area, or the higher revenues will arrive also from RAI, thanks to the new €8 million of additional investment.
No, the additional investment that you mentioned for €80 million, we refer both to RAI and other customers. I would say also to there is a component that is also linked to the digital transformation, so it's linked to efficiencies, not properly linked to the top line. And in terms of trend that you see on the third party's revenues, as you may recall, we are seeing, also looking at the past, two very different trends that are impacting on our third party's revenues. Pressure from MNOs that we try to offset by a very interesting growth coming from all the other non-MNO customers. In particular, I'm referring to TV and radio broadcasters, to corporate in relation to the refarming that will also impact on the local level. In particular, in relation to the corporate customer, to the fixed WA sector, that we expect will continue to have a positive impact on our overall revenues. So the trends are more or less always the same that we look at the past, but we expect also to have a positive impact from new initiatives to be launched, also in the context of potential agreement with the MNO players in order to maintain the level of sites that we offer today to them, but probably with a lower price. And so this, of course, will have an impact. But overall, looking at the overall figures, after probably a little decrease in 2020, figures should stabilize at 31 million euro, more or less.
So, Alberto, let me give you a little bit more color about this important point. The trend of third-party revenues, as you said before, is a result of several drivers. You said this, on the negative, mainly MNO, but also a small impact from refining on third-party broadcasters. In particular, you have to remember that as the model in this case, also for broadcasters, is pure tower hosting, so broadcasting equipment, hospitality. Also on the negative side, on the positive, results from commercial activity with, as Alberto said, other customers, so local TV, refarming, and new services. But, of course, the headwind is related to, and limited to, MNOs, so mobile operators. Here, about mobile operators, as you see, we have highlighted in the presentation, the trend that you see is a mix of more and more retention-oriented pricing and new services. So new, more competitive pricing model for telecom customers in order to retain volumes, and then leverage, and also maybe beyond 2023 on the rollout of 5G networks, both in semi-rural or rural areas, that's, as you know, is the final part of the network rollout. At the same time, expanding the offering with services consistent with the 5G network architecture and enable new services. In which way? Two considerations. So let me say, the phase one, the phasing of these two different initiatives different, with pricing revision first, retention, and then upselling the new services, and this is the first phase, and that's why we said, and I said before, that revenues will bottom up during the planned period. And second consideration, we want to adopt a demand-driven approach on new services with the possibility to scale up in case of positive, and we are sure that this will be market response. So we prefer, as you have seen, to take, let me say, an overall conservative stance about that point.
Many thanks.
The next question is for Mr. Fabio Pavan of Mediobanca. Please go ahead, sir.
Okay. Good morning. Sorry. And thank you for... First of all, thank you for your presentation and congratulations for having managed to provide such a presentation in this current environment. I think this is remarkable. Moving to the questions. My first one is on data center and cloud. You know, I'm pretty interested in this topic. I'm happy to see you're talking about that. I would just wonder if you're already are doing something with your parties, discussing something on maybe tower edge data center, or if it's something that could happen in the future. And then when moving to potential external growth, you already are scouting some companies. It's much more a plan of securing sites, or we could even expect kind of a bigger deal. Second question is on digital transformation. It is interesting, would like just if you can provide some more color in terms of where your improvements are coming from, and also Alberto, you were mentioning starting from 2022. So why is that? How can we move to this assumption? First question, sorry, just just these two ones. So the question is on the buyback. If I'm right, you were suggesting 20 million is the starting point, and this amount would even grow in the future. And finally, for Aldo, I see your point on consolidation. We have managed to discuss something similar also in another call a couple of days ago. Would you agree if I say that in this current environment, it's clearly not as easy to imagine talks could start soon, but if there is a project which can create value not just for you but for the country, this is something that eventually will be taken into consideration. Thank you.
Ciao Fabio. So let me start with the last questions, and then I will ask Giancarlo to elaborate more on the data center. So on the consolidation, let me just say that the situation we are living now happened really so fast, and so we really hope that with the same speed everything will come back to the we will have again a normal scenario. So having said that, of course, you know how we believe in the positive coming from this project, and we cannot elaborate more on this point. Buyback. Buyback, yes, 20 million euro is the amount. Just to be clear, let me highlight that the overall total available reserves amount 30 million euros. So if we will go on in the future, taking into consideration the available reserve, just take in mind that the maximum amount is 30 million euros, so 10 additional million euros coming from our reserve. And then there is our policy on the net income, as we comment during the presentation. Then digital transformation. Digital transformation, why in 2022? Let me say that thanks to all the work that we are doing on our network, we are also taking the opportunity to improve not only the technologies, but also the possibility to having a better management of all our transmissions infrastructure, also from remote. So the occasion that we have to update our network is something that we are using also for other purposes, and digital transformation is, of course, an important aspect that we are taking into consideration in this context. So this is why you see the impact coming basically at the end of the refarming. The refarming is something that is extraordinary, is an incredible project that we will have to do in the next years, but this is something that this is not coherent with the normal process, and the digital transformation typically impacts on ordinary processes, and because of this, as well as I mentioned, in consideration of some upgrade that we will have the opportunity to implement in our network to improve the remote control, this is the reason why you will see the impact starting from 2022. But these are the impacts that you are seeing in terms of saving. There will be, before this impact, some you have to take into consideration that you will see some capex that we will have to spend, something that we will start to spend this year, also to
include in Rai Way all the new relevant software to manage the company in a more digital way. So we will see a progression of investments in these years, with the first positive, significant and positive impact coming from 2022. Some minor impact will happen also in the next years, but something not significant. And this is the answer on the digital transformation. Then I believe Giancarlo can elaborate on the data center.
Sure, Fabio, if I got it, your question correctly, in particular on the edge data center, on the tower edge data center, it's of course an innovative business, but we see this as an architecture, as a good architecture to address the requirements in terms of latency and network virtualization that are key for 5G and for 5G-enabled services. Let me say, it's not only our idea. There are several tower companies and new, very focused companies on tower edge data centers that are working on it. We are right now selecting the sites, our sites, that have the best fit in terms of coverage, mainly focusing on the coverage of the main Italian financial and industrial district to have a latency in the range of less than 10 milliseconds. And obviously presence of MNOs on our site as the new services will, however, run on an MNO mobile network. So let me say that in this case, in the case of Edge Data Center, the timing will follow the 5G network rollout. While, of course, in terms of a traditional central data center, in this case, the supply-demand is at an early stage, but let me say that from a technological perspective, is a more mature market.
Okay.
The next question is from Giorgio Tavolini at Intermonte. Please go ahead, sir. Mr. Tavolini, your line is open, sir. So perhaps you have your phone on mute.
Let's go with the following question and then...
Yes, sir, the following question. The next question is from Antonella Frongillo of Banca IMI. Please go ahead, madam.
Yes, hi. I have two questions. The first one is on the labor costs. Could you elaborate a little bit on that? I understood that the decrease over the plan is linked to the digital transformation. Is that correct? And does that imply a lower number of employees? Is that agreed with unions? That's the first question. And the second one is on COVID-19. Is there any possibility that the potential impact on RAI, which I guess would be higher than on Rai Way, could trigger any sort of impact on the service agreements in place with Rai Way?
Hi, Antonella. This last question, let me say that we do not expect any impact from this. There is a contact and that's it. Let me also say that in this period, the role of RAI is something really, really important in the country, because thanks to RAI, we have the possibility, the government has the possibility to reach all the citizens for all the relevant key message. And so I do not expect nothing coming from what we were asking for. And in terms of Labor cost, we are not expecting nothing incredible on in terms of reduction of employees. We are just trying to imagine to build most efficient processes, leveraging of the let me say the age of our employees that are close to the retirement. So without being leveraging on this, we should be able to implement some efficiencies that will have a positive impact, as you have seen on the overall on the overall cost of personnel. But inside the number that you have seen in the slide, let me also highlight that we want to be more efficient on the standard process, but we also want to hire new talents in order to be more competitive with some inquiries with the, all the competence that are required by the new services that we cover in our business plan, in our industrial plan.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
As a reminder, if you wish to register for a question, please press star and one on your touchtone telephone. The next question is from Mr. Giorgio Zavolini, the Intermonte. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for taking my questions, and I apologize for the problem before. On the radio business, could you please elaborate more on the opportunity and the related financials from the Digital Plus? And secondly, I didn't hear about your experimental partnership with Open Fiber on the Ultra HD. Do you expect Open Fiber to be a preferred supplier for the future for the fiber backhauling to your towers? And another question from the broadcasting business. I understand this broadcasting technology is set to survive for the medium-long run as a complementary to non-linear TV. But do you expect headwinds from the reduction in the number of broadcasters in Italy for the near future? Thank you.
Good morning, Giorgio. Let me try to answer to your first two questions, and then I will ask my colleague to elaborate more on your last question. Talking about the DAB Plus, the DAB Plus is an interesting opportunity for us also because the band that the DAB Plus will use is the VHF band, and this is a band that is compatible with our network, because as you may recall, our MUX1 as of today is based on both UHF and VHF band. So in this sense, this represents an opportunity, also considering that RAI is ready to increase the coverage of the services. This is something that we already did, we are already doing. In fact, you may recall I spent a few words commenting the historical figures, the 2019 figures. One of the main initiatives of the year is related to the coverage extension of the DAB Plus, of the DAB Plus. So it's something that is impacting, and we expect it will continue to impact in the future. Of course, we are not talking about figures that are not so significant looking at our overall amount of revenues, but looking at the increase in revenues, of course, we will have a little benefit coming also from this initiative that will impact not only RAI but also third parties, because we expect that there will be an increase in the coverage, generally speaking, in the market. Coming at your question on Open Fiber, of course, the agreement that you mentioned is something important for us, as we are really interested in investing and spending our time in testing new solutions. So happy for this. And in terms of potential future supplier, of course, in the market there are not a lot of players, and we will see once we will have to select the proper provider, we will see who we will win.
Giorgio, it's Giancarlo speaking. On your question on the broadcasting platforms, basically you mix two different things. So let's split between the refarming and the impact of refarming, and then the platform rebalancing. On the refarming, if your question was on the potential impact from the reduction of the number of broadcasters, let me say that the impact will be very, very limited. For us, the refarming is extremely important for RAI, and you are already more than aware of the positive impact of the refarming process and agreement with RAI. In terms of third parties, let me say that we see a limited impact on the tower hosting due to reduction in the number of multiplexes, but very limited, and in any case already included obviously in the plan and in the financials of the plan. The second part of your question was on the trend on the platforms, and that was exactly what we tried to address in our presentation. Coexistence of broadcast and broadband platforms that many are predicting looks rational, as it combines the benefit and efficiency of both. So on one side, the large coverage and audience of broadcast that is particularly suitable for live and non-deferrable events to a wide audience, that is at the same time combined with the flexibility and personalization of broadband unicast that is efficient for on-demand fruition of non-live and deferrable events. Let me stress one point. We are not absolutely saying that there won't be connected TV in our home in the future. We are saying exactly the opposite, that the number of connected TV will increase further and further, but the TV can receive different contents through different platforms, maximize the efficiency of the resources. And so if the rebalancing of platform will lead to a lower amount of content to be distributed through broadcast, through DTT, it's also true on the other side that, first of all, our broadcasting activities are not only related to the number of contents that you broadcast, as the correlation between activities and remuneration is limited and is not linked to the number of MOOCs, as we have shown with the refarming. And on the opposite, that we will likely have more activities on new platforms that is part of the evolution included in this plan. And also, third, last comment, we cannot rule out the possibility to renew the entire broadcasting network with a technological upgrade. For instance, Aldo during the presentation referred to 5G broadcasting. And as you have already seen with the refarming, the technological upgrade implies considerable activities for us and thanks to our business model, we will benefit from that.
Thank you.
The next question is from Mr. Stefano Gamberini of Equita SIM. Please go ahead, sir.
Thanks. Sorry, three quick questions. The first regarding the buyback. Have I understood correctly that the buyback of 20 million euros will go ahead during 2020, as is written in the press release, or during all the plan? The second, regarding your flexibility, you underlined that you will have a debt EBITDA 1x, while you could go up to 4-6x, considering your competitors. So now that the possible consolidation in broadcasting tower is on hold, could you accelerate to find out some other opportunities, or probably this could happen not shortly? And the last, sorry, to come back still on this 80 million euros of additional investments on top of the refarming. Are these already set? And when will you roll out all these investments? What I mean is, do you already define all the different initiatives, or this could be challenged and could be updated considering the demand from the market and possible contracts that will you sign in the future?
So, coming from the last question, let's start with the last question, the 80 million euro of additional investments, this is our realistic expectation for the amount of the investments. Part of these are, I'd say that the majority are not yet set in the sense that we don't have yet the contract, but we did a lot of work in order to have an estimation of the potential impact in terms of CapEx. So then, of course, if you know that the flexibility that we have, coming to your second question, is also related to our organic business. So if there will be headroom to invest more, always happy to do it, and we will do it to the extent that we will have the proper return. Coming to your second question, the potential consolidation is not on hold. I do not understand this. The situation is the same that we had a few weeks ago. Of course, now priority for the government is in some other place, and I totally agree with this, but I would not say the consolidation project is in terms of broadcasting, as Aldo mentioned during commenting the specific slide. I would not say that is on hold.
Yeah, what I said before, Fabio, is that there is not any ongoing discussion, so it isn't not on hold. This is just to be clear on this point.
And your question on the buyback, yes, 20 million euros of buyback will start in 2020.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Gentlemen, at this time, there are no questions registered.
Okay. Then let us thank all the participants for joining the call and speak soon. Bye-bye.